Chapter 13. The next morning I woke up, still naked, with the girls sprawled out across me, and the fire nothing more than a pile of smoking coals. I carefully removed Asta and Kars's arms and legs from on top of me, and then I got up, pulled my tunic over my head, and brought the fire back to life. After the flames were going again, I headed over to the garden to pick out some fruit for breakfast. It was just barely light out, and I figured I would let the girls sleep for a little while longer. They worked so hard, and I knew when they cast the invisibility spell it had taken a lot out of them, as had our love-making session. I didn't see the little dragons out in the yard either, so I figured they were still asleep as well. For a moment I relished in the silence of the morning, and it reminded me of how things had been before the girls and the dragons came into my life. It used to be just me, alone at my cottage, and each morning I would make myself some breakfast, just as I did this morning. Only now I made breakfast for six instead of one, and I couldn't be happier about it. The dragons were small, but they ate the same amount as a full-sized person, and I knew that amount would only increase as they grew larger. I could already see how Bla had grown just in the last week. The horns on his head were more defined, and his body was longer than it had been. The twins were growing too, though not quite as quickly as Bla. Still, whenever I picked them up, I could feel how much heavier they'd gotten since they'd hatched. Soon I would have huge creatures on my hands, instead of the vulnerable babies I'd cared for and loved. I thought this must be how parents felt when they watched their children get older and bigger. It was bittersweet, knowing they were growing more independent. On the one hand, they'd be able to take care of themselves, but on the other hand, that meant they didn't need their parents anymore.
Wrath.
I heard Asta's voice behind me.
Can we help?
I turned round to see she and Kars stood a few feet away. Asta's lips were still stained red from the lipstick she'd worn the night before, and Kars's hair was in a messy mane of curls from sleep. They both had on their regular clothes once more, and I thought how I needed to get them a couple more fancy dresses. Well, if only for me to take them off. I think I've got it. I smiled at the pair of them. Why don't you go wake up the dragons?
All right.
Asta agreed.
I'll take a look at the map.
Kars said.
We're leaving after breakfast, right?
That's right. I nodded. I didn't want to waste any more time than necessary, and as it was, I was already itching to get going. I'd enjoyed the small moment of quiet when I'd first woken up, but that quickly faded when I thought about the task at hand, and how the fate of all dragons rested on my shoulders. I didn't want to let the dragons down, and I didn't want to let Nidhogg down, or Bla and the twins. But most of all, I didn't want to let myself down. I'd always felt my life wasn't what it should have been. Though I'd grown up without lineage and made the most out of life, I always had a nagging feeling I was meant to be more than I was. I'd joined a war band to try and quell that feeling, but it had only made it worse. Being around assholes who thought they were better than me hadn't made the feeling go away. If anything, it had made it stronger. I knew I was a better fighter than those men, and I could do more than take out enemy tribes every now and then. Now that I'd found my dragons and the girls, the feeling subsided. I knew this was my destiny. And that nagging feeling I'd had for so long prepared me for the here and now, where I could finally become who I was meant to be. All I needed to do was go to Nidhogg's well and fill the last vial. It almost sounded too easy, but Ramir said Nidhogg's well was one of the three, so it had to be the last one. There wasn't another well within the Nine Realms for us to go to. Not that I knew of, anyway. Luckily, we still had the map to show us where the well was. We'd only been to Nidhogg's well once, and I doubted I could find it again. Niflheim was as large a realm as any, and without the map, it could take us days to find the right place. I thought about how Kaas and Asta had come into my life just after the dragons, and how not only was I destined to save the dragons, but I was destined to have the two of them with me when I did. The two beautiful sorceresses were invaluable members of the team. They'd assisted with training the dragons, and I wasn't sure I could have made it this far in the quest without their magic to assist me. Jotunheim would have been a much colder place without their warming spell, and we wouldn't have been able to get inside the castle without the invisibility spell they'd cast. They truly were just as important to the quest as I was, and I was lucky to have them by my sides. I finished picking some fruit for breakfast, and then I headed back over to the fire pit and found Asta brewing tea while Kaas looked through her spellbook. The little dragons were awake, but not quite up for the day. Inga sat in Asta's lap with her head laid on the elf girl's knee, and Bla laid at Asta's feet, or rather, on her feet near the fire. The elf girl didn't seem to mind, though, and she seemed to make sure not to make any sudden movements so as not to disturb the two of them. Ufe had chosen to lay on the ground by the fire, but he seemed the most awake out of all the little reptiles. His purple eyes surveyed the area, and he seemed to be smiling. He appeared perfectly content to be awake and outside in the morning sun. He truly was one with the earth, and I could tell he enjoyed mornings like this just as much as I did. I started on breakfast and appreciated the quiet morning with my crew. I made us some oatmeal with peaches, apples, and cinnamon. It paired wonderfully with Asta's floral tea, and it didn't take long for everyone to devour their bowls. Bla and Inga ate savagely, as usual, while Ufe savored each bite. Kaas held her bowl over her spellbook and ate as she studied, and her violet eyes scanned the pages with focus and determination. Asta ate quickly, and then she sat with both hands around her mug as she sipped her tea slowly. After breakfast, I had Kaas pull out the map for us all to look at. She laid it in the grass by the fire pit, and we all gathered round.
"It's right there,"
the strawberry blonde said with a point. "Okay." I nodded and turned to Bla. "I know you can't see what's around the well except for on paper, but do you think you can visualize it enough to get us close?" The little blue dragon looked down at the map and then back up at me, and he nodded his head three times. "Thanks, buddy," I smiled. Bla had managed to get us fairly close to the castle in Helheim, so I had faith he could get us decently close to Nidhugg's Well. Also, in Niflheim we didn't have a time limit, and the threat of losing our joy forever hanging over our heads. I wanted to try and get to the well early, since I was eager to finish the quest, but an extra hour or two of walking wouldn't make too much of a difference. After we looked over the map, we all got dressed and ready to head out. I put on my old blue warband tunic, as well as my chest plate and forearm guards. My sword was attached to my belt at my hip, and I pulled my hair back into a braid on top of my head, shaved the sides so they were clean, and gave my face a good shave as well. I also grabbed Bla's chest plate and put it on him. But as I did so, I realized he'd gotten bigger, and the armor would soon not fit him at all. I'd have to commission another one to be made. I didn't anticipate we would need our armor since we were going to see Nidhugg, but I also didn't know where the portal would let us out in Niflheim. There was always the possibility we could run into some sort of creature that inhabited the realm, and I'd encountered enough of them by this point to know most of them weren't exactly friendly. I refused to get caught without my armor. It was better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. The little dragons played in the yard while we waited for the girls, but it didn't take long for them to come out of the cottage. Kaas wore her long purple tunic that matched her eyes, with her steel armor on over it, and her satchel was over her shoulder and hung next to a sword on her hip. The sorceress's makeup from the night before had washed off, but she was as beautiful as ever, and her long curly hair was pulled back into a high ponytail that hung down her back. A few flyaway curls framed her face, and she looked at me with violet eyes, eager for adventure. Asta had on the yellow tunic she'd picked out that also matched her eyes. Her nearly black armor complemented the color well, and her long white hair added even more contrast to the look. Her hair was braided down the middle, and the long thick braid hung down her back. Her elven ears were clearly visible, and I couldn't help but smile at how beautiful she was. "All right," I said as they walked over to me. "Are we ready to go?"
"I think so."
Kaas nodded. "Blah!" I called out, and the little dragons all ran over to us. Blah flew up to land on my shoulders, while Inga landed on Asta's shoulder, and Ufe ran up to Kaas's feet to be picked up. The little earth dragons still preferred to walk or run instead of fly, but I thought that was another reason he liked Kaas so much. The Valkyrie woman didn't seem to mind having to pick him up, and I thought it was probably because she was a grounded person herself. Unlike her giddy elf counterpart, Kaas was a realist, and she relied on logic and fact versus feeling. Once they were all settled in, I turned to Blah on my shoulder and gave him an encouraging smile. "It's up to you now," I told the little reptile. The little blue dragon nodded and closed his eyes. A second later, a small portal appeared, and it grew larger as I watched, until it was big enough where I could fit through easily. Blah opened his eyes and smiled so hard they closed again. He was clearly proud of what he'd accomplished, and I couldn't blame him. The portal had appeared quickly, and it had grown larger at a faster rate than they had before. He was getting more and more proficient with his teleportation, and I was curious to see what else he'd be able to do soon. "Good job," I told him, and I reached up to scratch under his chin before I held my hands out for the girls to take. We all stepped through the portal at once, and the familiar rush of wind hit me for a second. The air was gone, as quickly as it came, though, and I opened my eyes to a whole other realm. We'd been to the world of fog and mist before, but it seemed different than the last time we'd come. Today it lived up to its name. The air was humid and cool, and the fog was so thick I could barely make out a tree a few feet away. Everything was cast in an eerie white translucent sheet that overpowered the entire realm.
"Whoa!"
Kaas breathed as she looked around.
"It is quite foggier than the last time we were here."
"I was thinking the same thing." I nodded.
"I looked up a spell for just this type of thing this morning."
Kaas smiled.
"I thought we might run into this problem."
"What do you mean? A spell for fog?"
"A spell to counteract fog,"
she corrected, and she reached into her satchel and pulled out a small mirror and a piece of twine.
"What do we need to do? Just hold on to me and focus your power on the mirror. Okay?"
The elf girl nodded and placed her hand on Kaas's shoulder while Ufe laid on her other one. The little dragon didn't seem concerned whatsoever. He just laid on Kaas's shoulder and looked round curiously, and I wondered if he could see better than the girls and I could. The beautiful strawberry-blonde sorceress held the mirror in one hand and the twine in the other. Then she closed her eyes and began to murmur a spell of some sort. Asta closed her eyes too, and I could see her chest rise and fall evenly as she focused her power on whatever spell Kaas was casting. Blah and I watched as the mirror illuminated with a silver color and then went back to normal again.
"Done."
Kaas smiled and opened her eyes. "What does it do?" I asked as my eyebrows furrowed together. Nothing seemed different. The sorceress held the mirror up and pointed it in front of us, and the fog dissipated enough for me to see about 50 feet or so ahead. It wasn't completely clear, but I could make out the scenery, and that was all I needed. "Wow!" My eyes widened with disbelief as I took in the sight before me.
"Now!"
Kaas said, and she pulled the map out of her satchel and opened it up.
"The Vale is that way."
Kaas pointed to our right, and I looked at the map and nodded. We were at least an hour's journey away, it seemed, but that was to be expected. Blah was getting more proficient at creating portals, but It seemed like an impossible task to create a portal that led directly to somewhere he'd only been to once. He'd done a good job, and an hour's walk wasn't so bad, especially considering we'd walked for 2 or 3 hours in Jotunheim. Here it was foggy, but at least I didn't think there were any giant snow leopards waiting for us. I couldn't be sure about other creatures, though, and I was once again happy I'd made the girls put their armor on. The fog that surrounded us was eerie, and it put me on edge to not be able to see all around me. As a fighter, my instincts were to keep an eye on my opponent, but I wasn't sure I'd be able to see one if they tried to sneak up on me. I'd just have to keep my ears focused since my eyes were limited. Cass held the mirror out and led us through the trees in the direction of the well, and I took in the sights and smells around us as we walked. Niflheim was a damp and cool place, and something about it made me feel as though I were under a rock. It seemed like the kind of place a salamander or snake would live back in Asgard, and it suddenly made sense why Nidhugg had made it his home. Dragons were fire creatures, but they were reptiles too, and Blah and the twins didn't seem to mind the place at all. Perhaps something with the muggy air felt comforting to them. Blah and Inga flew just ahead of us, but they made sure to keep within the visible area the mirror created. I didn't want either of them to get lost, especially not in a world with fog in the name. It would be difficult enough to find them with how small they were, but to not be able to see them even a few feet away was scary to me. Ufe was content to ride on Kasa's shoulders, though, and he perched next to her head and looked from side to side as we trekked through the trees. The forest we were in seemed to go on for miles. The deep, black-colored trees had very few branches, but they extended upward as far as the eye could see. The ground had no grass, and, in fact, the only green thing I saw was some moss attached to one of the trees.
I was thinking,
Asta said as we walked.
If Nidhugg is the guardian of this well, and he's going to give us the water, then why would the other guardians not give it to you? The Fates gave it to him. True.
The elf girl nodded.
But why did he have to kill the leopard? I just don't understand why only one well would have a guardian you'd have to fight. It would seem all or none would make more sense. What's so special about the well in Jotunheim? Well, that's the well Odin traded an eye to.
Kass shrugged.
It's supposed to give whoever drinks of it incredible knowledge. Maybe that's why it's so special.
Well, that was the only well I'd heard of before. I nodded. I hadn't known about the other two before this.
So that is the one with the most special abilities, then? It would seem so.
Kass pursed her lips.
But perhaps the water from the other wells becomes more powerful when combined with each other. They were glowing last night when they were near each other.
We'll find out soon enough, I said, and I pointed up ahead to the familiar large black stone wall that hid Nidhugg's well. The black obsidian stretched up to the sky, and I smiled to myself. We were nearly there. It was almost time for the quest to be completed. Kass turned to smile at me, and then she held the mirror up again and led us toward the giant stone wall. The girls made a point. It did seem odd how the snow leopard was the only well guardian we had to fight. The Fates warned me about taking the water, but they hadn't tried to stop me. The leopard had been ready to attack, though, and I wondered if the water from the Jotunheim well was really so magical it needed protection more than the other wells. The story went, Odin sacrificed his eye to Mirmir in order to gain knowledge of things hidden from him. But if that was the case, then how had our invisibility spell worked on him? Had he actually seen us and just acted like he hadn't? Or did the effects of the well only last for so long before they wore off? I'd have to ask Ramir about that when we got back, or maybe I could ask Nidhugg. Either way, once I got all the vials full, I'd be able to figure out what the water was for, and that might help me understand its powers a little better. The girls and I walked up to the stone wall, and I quickly found the entrance. We stepped through and into the courtyard, only it wasn't the courtyard we'd been to before. The well in the center wasn't the black well Nidhugg had come out of the last time we'd been there. This seemed like a new place entirely. The black stone walls were the same, though, and aside from the color of the well, it was the same, too. Everything was just barely different, but it was enough to cause the hair on the back of my neck to stand on end. Oh, something didn't feel right here.
This feels different than the last time we were here,
Asta said, and she looked at me with worried yellow eyes. It does, I nodded.
The map says we're in the right place.
Kaas frowned as she looked around.
Then this has to be Needhook's well, right?
Asta asked, and her eyebrows pinched together with confusion.
But I thought his well was black.
It was black. The well in front of us wasn't black at all, though. It was a sort of grey colour, and it looked just a touch larger than the well Needhook had gone into, which was saying something, considering Needhook was a massive creature.
Should we call out to him?
I didn't blame her for trying to be quiet. Now that we'd realized this wasn't the same place we'd been to before, it felt as though we weren't safe any longer. The idea to call out to Needhook would have been appealing had the place looked the same, but as it was, I didn't think that was a good idea. Needhook knew we were coming last time, and if he was here, then I had to assume he would have shown himself as he did before. Something was seriously wrong. The hair on the back of my neck stood up even more, and I sensed something move behind me. I turned round and saw the entrance I'd come through was now blocked by a large, green, scaly body. The thing slithered against the wall, and I followed the line of its body to see a massive, diamond-shaped head on the other side of the well from me. The beast had raised scaly eyebrows on top of huge, yellow-slitted eyes, and its forked tongue slowly poked out of its mouth as it hissed. Well, so much for this being easy.